Well, we are in John, and it's a pretty cool story, actually. A cool miracle story on the heels of last week's story about the healing of the royal official's son. And before we get into it, I brought a friend today. His name is Matt. And me and Matt are somewhat close. I mean, we're not as close as Tom Hanks and Wilson. I probably wouldn't cry if he left, but me and Matt have done some things together, some Jillian Michaels yoga workouts, some Bob, whatever his last name is, from Biggest Loser workouts, and, you know, I like Matt, he's fine. Sometimes it's not my favorite time of the day when I'm laying on Matt, working out, and I want you to just keep Matt in mind. We're going to talk about Matt a little bit as we get into this story, but this is my friend Matt, okay? John chapter 5. Sometime later, so this is after Jesus has healed the royal official's son, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. So we get the setting for this story. One, it's a festival. And again, no one knows which festival. If we wanted to argue about it this morning, we could, but that would be a really boring argument. You can read commentaries for that. Don't know which festival, but I like the idea of it being a festival, because at festivals, there's decorations, and there's just an energy in a city when there's a festival, right? You just sense that. Something's going on. It's exciting. Little ting in the air. Ting, if that makes sense. It's near the Sheep Gate. The Sheep Gate is one of the gates in the wall of Jerusalem. If you read Nehemiah about them rebuilding the wall, you read about all kinds of gates, the horse gate, the fish gate, the ever-popular refuse gate. And the sheep gate is generally where people believe that the sheep were brought into the city to bring to the temple to sacrifice. Just kind of an interesting point, that it's a festival, most likely a religious festival, and this scene is taking place by the sheep gate. And then it says it's by this pool, Bethesda. This is a big pool, not a little pool. Some say it was 75 feet deep, so it's very deep. Huge. People could swim in this pool. In fact, people did swim in this pool. And this pool had five covered colonnades or balconies or patios to stay out of the sun, kind of sit there and watch the children playing in the pool, right? That's the setting. Until we go on, verse 3. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. So this is not the Hilliard pool. This is a pool where the disabled rested by the sheep gate at this festival. The paralyzed, the lame, the blind, sitting there all day, maybe under the colonnade, maybe out in the sun, resting. And you know if there's a lot of disabled people, Jesus will be there soon. Because this is where Jesus hangs out. This is where Jesus goes to, the outcast, the downtrodden. But you're not there yet. There's a secret verse here. How many people have verse 4 in their Bible? You have verse 3 and then verse 5. How many people have verse 4? You're looking like, well, of course I have verse 4. Why wouldn't I? Seriously, is anyone looking? Who doesn't have verse 4? Right. So how many people knew there was just verses missing in the Bible? Yeah. The mystery verse. Verse 4. John chapter 5. It would have been a mean youth pastor drill for sword drills. John 5, 4, kids. Okay, anyway, what's it say? What does it say? Paralyzed, people there were paralyzed, and they waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool, after each such disturbance, would be cured of whatever disease they had. Okie dokie. So, this verse was apparently not in some of the early Greek manuscripts. This verse is a little bit kind of weird, to be honest. The pool would move by an angel of the Lord. Whenever it moved, the first person to get into the pool would be healed. You can see why we tend to remove verses like this. This week in the mail, if you live in the neighborhood, you might have got this. I got the Jesus rug. The Jesus prayer rug. My daughter brought this down to me, like, look, Dad, if you stare at his eyes, they eventually open. I'm like, this thing is creepyville. What is this? But basically, I was told I had 24 hours to pray on this magical piece of paper, and things like getting $46,000 after using the prayer rug would happen to me. So I had 24 hours to use it. If I needed to put it under my bed, there's a long list of rules. But basically, whatever it is, there was a blessing waiting to happen for me if I used the Jesus prayer rug and kneel on it and then put it under my bed for the entire night. If I wasn't going to use it, I needed to give it to somebody. I did not use it. Now it's worthless, apparently. This is the kind of stuff where we say, okay, that's silly. Who would ever do that? But this is the kind of idea here. The waters would move. Person races there. They'll be healed. I mean, this thing, to me, is just set up for Jesus to come onto the scene. We've got a religious festival. There's an energy. We're by the sheep gate, this pool of disabled people, and they're waiting to get into this water to be healed. You know Jesus is coming, and he does. Verse 5, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. 38 years. Now, I have been alive for 38 years. But imagine for a second the relationship this man had with Matt. He laid on Matt for 38 years. Matt probably stunk. He probably despised Matt because Matt was all there was to lay on every day. But then at the same time, he probably loved Matt because Matt was probably the closest friend he had in a lot of ways. Matt was always there. So is this love-hate relationship with Matt, and it may seem kind of cheesy, but I don't actually think it is. I love that scene in Castaway. This was his friend. This was all he had. And I would imagine this invalid for 38 years sitting on the same mat would have a relationship with Matt. And Jesus comes along. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Now, two things. First, Jesus learned something from the man. If we just stopped there and learned nothing else, how great would it be if we approached every conversation to learn something rather than to teach something? Jesus came and learned something about this man. He had been on this mat for 38 years. And then Jesus asks, to me, the most rhetorical question in the entire Bible. Do you want to get well? Now, if I'm the invalid on mat for 38 years, this is the point I might punch Jesus. Do I want to get well? Who? What? What do you think? And a lot of times we don't have the way, the context that Jesus, the tone of voice that Jesus uses. We talked about it even last week. But for me, in this situation, I think we do have some of the tone because this guy doesn't freak out. In fact, I like to imagine Jesus coming with one of the most compassionate, loving, warm tones and looks in his eyes ever and saying, after this conversation and learning, do you want to get well? I mean, it had to be. It had to be that kind of compassion because the man replies, sir. The man doesn't reply, listen up, buddy. Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Oh, sir, yes, I want to be healed, but here's the deal. Whenever the water is stirred, I can't make it. There's a race, and I never make it. And I'm stuck on this bleeping mat. And someone always gets there ahead of me, and if only someone would help me, but I can't make it. Now, I don't know if people were actually healed from this water. And I may be going out on a limb here, but I think this whole water being stirred, people being healed, is a load of poo-poo. If I'm an angel of the Lord, which I'm not, so it's always dangerous to say that, I get that. But if I'm an angel of the Lord and I want to heal people, am I going to come up with a thing for getting some disabled people to race? This is a cruel joke, my friend, okay? The water is stirred, like, ooh, the wind blew the water. And then blind, paralyzed, lame people go in a race to this pool. I hate it. Like, really? This is how the angel of the Lord works? Hey, guys, watch this one. This is going to be fun. So I don't know. Again, I want to be careful, but I look at this and go, no way. No way. Are you kidding me? And also, whenever humans come up with these kind of rules, there's always a winner and a loser. So of course it would be a race. Of course, the first one to get there. Of course, you only have 24 hours. Everyone else loses. Of course, one person is going to pray enough and read their Bible enough and give enough and whatever enough to get the whatever. So of course, when the water is stirred, all of these people are going to race in whatever way they can, and one person will win and everyone else is a loser. And they're feeling it all the time for 38 years. I'm a loser every day. I can never make it. And Jesus, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. And at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Imagine it for a second. Matt, I've known you for 38 years. I lay on you. I hate you and I love you. For the first time ever. Whew. Whoa. Whoa. Matt. Guess what, Matt? I own you now, buddy. Matt, this is different. You don't control me anymore, Matt. Oh my gosh. Woo! I mean, can you imagine the feeling of picking up Matt and holding him like this? After 38 years, this guy's just got to be beaming from ear to ear. And then, of course, we get into some more of the story. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. So it was a festival. It was by the pool. There's some energy. But it was also the Sabbath, the holy day. And you know, some people don't like certain things being done on the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." I mean, are you kidding me right now? This guy, after 38 years, is walking with Matt. He owns Matt. His whole world has just changed. Matt, I love you, but I am so happy I'm carrying you. Hey, whoa. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. You know this is a holy day, right? The law forbids you to carry Matt. I mean, again, I don't know what the conversation was, but it's like, are you kidding me? Want me to tell you what Matt is? I have been sitting on him for 38 years. I am carrying, you're telling me I can't carry him today? Are you out of your mind? Who are you people? What is wrong with you? Well, it's a holy day. And when we say holy day, I mean no healings or anything like that. You know, just holy stuff. The man replied, which shows this man has incredible patience, way more than I. "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" I mean, guys, somebody told me to pick up mat and walk, and believe me, after sitting there for 38 years, I'm going to do it. Religious leaders, so they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Now, I know this is like beating a dead horse, but over and over, do you notice how Jesus is never preoccupied with telling people everything about him? I mean, it blows me away. Last week, "Go, your son is healed." The centurion's son, "Go, your son is healed." The woman who was bleeding and touches Jesus' cloak, "Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." The man lowered in the roof, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." The man who he cast legion out from, cast demons out from, "Return home and tell what God has done." This man, "Get up, carry your mat, and go." over and over. I mean, Jesus, wait, maybe we should sit around for a little bit and kind of read and just talk about the miracle and talk about what it means that Matt's here now and that the, I mean, maybe you have some doctrine. Just go. Jesus, I mean, well, who are you? I mean, let's talk about, okay, what does this really mean? I mean, you're claiming to be from God. Just go. Be freed from your suffering. Go. Over and over. Go. Go. Go home. Go home. Be freed. Go home. Tell what God has done. Pick up your mat and go. Over and over. I just came across a book this week, and the book claims to finally explain the gospel. In fact, it's called, this is the gospel. If we have to take a book to explain the gospel, and Jesus was always telling people, just go, be freed, go home and say what God has done, it seems like something's missing. Jesus didn't have a book to explain over and over. And in this case, go, pick up your mat, disappears. All right, story goes on. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. We don't know how later, but Jesus goes and finds the man. And you can imagine the man is, I don't know, I think he's still carrying Matt around. He's just like, whoo, he's just beaming. And Jesus comes along, see, you are well. Like, yes, thank you. And then this line, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. All right. Now, I read this verse last Sunday after church, and I didn't even want to preach this sermon. Like, what? What is that? Is this a threat? I mean, is this Jesus making a threat? Stop sinning or something worse may happen. Does this mean the man was an invalid because of sin? I mean, what is this about? This story was so cool. And then Jesus has to go and say this. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. So, okay, all right, what does this mean? Let me read a commentary. This will, I'm sure, explain it. A glimpse, this, of the reckless life he had probably led before his 38 years infirmity had come upon him, and which not improbably had brought on, in the just judgment of God, his chronic complaint. Fearful illustration, this, of the severity of God, but glorious manifestation of our Lord's insight into what was in man. For one, I can barely understand it. It's like ye old English. And for two, I can't stand it. Are you kidding me? Where is all this stuff in the story? Well, probably the man was a sinner, and that's why he was paralyzed. And it's a fearful illustration of what may happen to you if you're sinning. It is? Okay. So I had to go, okay, let's look at this. What's going on here? Jesus did not say your sin made you an invalid. Jesus never said it. In fact, we're going to get into a story later in John where Jesus says, no, sin doesn't do that kind of thing to people. And also, there were a lot of people sinning around Jesus who weren't invalids. So I got to think, actually, there were some people like Herod who were sinning, and they were pretty high on the hog. Life was going pretty good for them. So Jesus did not say, your sin made you an invalid. Jesus did not say, stop sinning or you will become an invalid again. He didn't say it. He could have. Hey, stop sinning or you're going to go back to Matt. He said, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. And, I mean, my first thought is something worse? Do you realize I've been stuck on this thing for 38 years? Worse? It's pretty bad. So I started thinking, okay, what is this? And then you start to think, you know, this story has a whole other deeper level to it. There's other stuff going on here. Because here's the deal. We all have mats. Every one of us. It's that thing that you're stuck with. And it's always there. And you hate it. You hate it. You wish you could get rid of it. but you also kind of love it because it's your friend. Twisted, sick friend, but it's your friend. And we all have these mats, these fears, maybe a worry, maybe guilt, maybe shame, I don't know, but I guarantee you every single person in here has one. Your mat. And you carry it around, and it's always there. And here's the deal. With our mats, we're stuck in stuff like this. I mean, not to this extent. But we're waiting for the pool to ripple. And then we're going to go racing with all the other invalids. And the first one there will get to drop their mat. But guess what? I never make it. I never win. I never win the race. Someone else always gets there before me. I'm always lost. I'm a loser. I hate Matt even more. I can never make it. If I could just do these things, then I could be able to drop Matt. If I would just do this, if I could just get here faster or better or stronger or more, then I could be the winner. But I'm never the winner. I'm always the loser. And then Jesus comes along and says, Ryan, do you want to drop Matt? Oh, please, Jesus, but you don't get it. I mean, I only had 24 hours, and I forgot to put the piece of paper under my bed and pray. Jesus, I want to be healed, but can someone just help me to do all these things more? Because I know if I do more of them, I might be the first one in the pool when the wind blows and ripples it. I mean, Jesus, oh, yeah, if you could just get up. Ryan, get up. Get up, put Matt by your side, and go. Walk. Go home. Tell people what God has done. Oh, wow. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Wow, this is awesome. I'm kind of happy. I'm going along. And here comes religion. Whoa. Ryan, what are you doing? What am I doing? I'm carrying Matt by my side, and it feels good. Well, do you know it's the Sabbath? Do you know the law forbids you to carry your mat today? I'm sorry. But could you just go back to the pool and sit there with all the other disabled people? I mean, we kind of liked it better when you guys were there. Because at least you weren't being healed on holy days and carrying your mat everywhere. And religion has this tendency sometimes to say, whoa, slow down. I mean, who did this? You can't just carry your mat around like that. You can't just be free of mat that easy. I mean, what have you done? Have you done enough? Well, what do you mean? I've been freed. I mean, I've been freed. Do you understand? Well, I don't know. The law forbids it. And then Jesus comes back a little later. Hey, Ryan, you've been freed, right? Yeah. Hey, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean, Jesus? Well, here's a couple things. One, don't forget Matt. Don't forget him. How am I going to forget him? It's been 38 years. I can't forget. Well, actually, you can. And here's what happens sometimes. Woohoo, Matt, freed, partay, baby. Let's do it. What are we doing? Jesus says, Ryan, don't forget Matt. Don't forget Matt. Why? Well, Matt's kind of a good reminder. Kind of a good reminder because something worse could happen to you than Matt. Because here's the deal, and I hope you never hear me say anything differently. Sin is paralyzing. I mean, you say, what is possibly worse than being stuck on a mat for 38 years? And it's hard for me to imagine. Until I start thinking of some people who are stuck in life and have been for 38 years because of sin. And it's pretty ugly. And sin does this. Sin is all of the things that paralyzation is. You're just sitting there. You love and hate Matt. You can't get up. You're racing to pulls. You're always a loser. You're caged. You're trapped. You're afraid. You're worrying. Shame, guilt, the whole list. Racing to these pulls. And sin does that. But there is still one question. I mean, what was this man's sin? All of these things are very true. Did the man really just forget Matt and go visit prostitutes? Maybe. I don't know. Did the man forget Matt and go get in a fight or demand some money from someone? I don't know. But Kent always has theology by Kent, so I get to do theology by Ryan. So this is where you go, okay, I'll listen with half an ear. Okay, good. That's fine. So what is this man's sin? He doesn't know who healed him, right? I don't know. And then Jesus comes, says, hey, you're well, stop sinning or it may get worse. Verse 15, the man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. And again, if you're reading this as a story, you read it so quickly. I have no idea. I don't know who made him well. Jesus stopped sinning or something worse may happen. He goes and finds the Jewish leaders and says, oh, Jesus made me well. So I don't know. Maybe he did know. Maybe he didn't. I kind of wonder if he actually knew it was Jesus. But he didn't want to tell the religious leaders that Jesus did it. Because there is actually something more paralyzing than laying on a mat. There's a paralyzing sin of a paralyzing religion. Idolatrous, fake, power-hungry religious systems that go around and tell people, oh, no, you can't carry mat around like that. Oh, no, 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 no. And even in this situation, who did that? Oh, I don't know. Because, man, if I say Jesus, well, they don't like Jesus. Because Jesus is coming and revolting against this whole system. I think Jesus comes by and says, hey, 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 stop sinning. And here's another thing. You're free. Go. Don't be afraid to tell them what I did. Because these religious systems are very frightening, and I have come to end them. And I have come on the Sabbath, the holiest of days. I have come on a festival. I have come to a pool where all these invalids sit and they wait for the water to ripple. And then they go race in this pathetic race to get into the water to be healed. And I've come and I've said, get up, take your mat by your side, and go and tell people what Jesus has done for you. Go. And when you run into the Pharisees, whoa, whoa, Jesus did it, buddy. And here's Matt. See ya. I got stuff to do. It's a pretty beautiful story. And it leads right into communion. We're going to take it this morning. We all have mats. Take a minute to think about your mat. Take a minute and bring your mat up here, or back there, or up here. Break off some bread, body of Christ. Dip it in that wine or grape juice, the blood of Christ, and hear Jesus say, pick up your mat and go and tell people what Jesus has done for you. Put mat down here. Because I came to do some incredible things. I've died. I've broken systems. I've broken the religious structural authority. Tell them Jesus has healed you. All of our bread is gluten-free this morning, folks. Gosh, so we don't have to do this crazy announcement anymore. Bread's gluten-free. Wine will be up front. Grape juice will be in the back. Come take communion whenever you're ready. Think about your mats. Think about the words Jesus says for you. Think about what the religious system says to you. And think about going, being healed, freed from your suffering. Let's pray. Jesus, I am so thankful for you. And every time I read the stories about you, I become more thankful. There are so many systems and religions and authorities and powers that some of it sometimes gets really confusing and overbearing, and I feel like I'm laying on that mat, and I'm so thankful for you. Jesus, let us hear your words this morning speaking to us in whatever ways they need to speak to us. We thank you for your death. We thank you for resurrection and life. And help us to go. In your name we pray. Amen.